This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Junkies and flunkies, welcome to this week's episode of the NWA Saturday Special. I am your co-host, Scott Criscola. Join me, as always, the doctor, Dr. G, Dr. Bellino.
Well. How are we today?
Well. We are a little late on this Saturday, and we apologize, scheduling and such. But we are here. It is Saturday. It's not Saturday morning. It's Saturday afternoon. You could still drink coffee. Doctor and I drink coffee all day, so it doesn't matter morning. We got a fun show for you this week. We will recap episode 5 of UWN Primetime Live, which of course had a giant announcement this past week and some returns that made me very excited. But I want to talk in particular this week, Doctor, about a question about how this relationship has gone so far between the UWN and the NWA. It's 5 weeks old. There's still at least three more episodes left because we already bought the second bundle. So we have episode 6 this coming week where we will have the announcement of who will be in something that this guy predicted last week. But we'll get to that in a minute. So, by the way, as I do always, let's get the plugs out of the way. Go to the Place to Be Wrestling Network on Podbean. Of course, you probably are because you're listening to us. We had some good shows this week. Ben Locke had his newest episode of Wrestling's Chicken Salad where they discussed Halloween Havoc 98. Remember that one, Dr. G? That was the infamous one where Hogan and Warrior sloughed around for 20 minutes. And then right in the middle of the DDP Goldberg main event, guess what? Nobody booked an approx, to use terminology you and I can understand.
Yep.
No one booked the approx, and it went to bars. We've had that happen in our lives.
And WCW at that time was, you know, still doing very well, and they still didn't have it all together.
They were still bozos. Any event, that's this week. Ben Locke and the gang have that this month's episode of Chicken Salad. New episode of The Great Debate Wrestling. Speaking of the British guys, Andy Atherton was with Ben Locke, Rory McNamara to do like Rotella, and Callum McDougall, your boy, and they had some nice wrestling topics. So check that out. And the newest episode of Highway to the Impact Zone was this past week. Dropped this past week.
Good stuff.
Logan and the gang. So, and a good week this week. We'll have a new episode of the Place to Be podcast Monday with the PIC and myself. Also, this coming Wednesday, the newest Croc and Roll drops.
Yeah, July baby.
5. And then this week, main event will be a great episode this week, too, as we'll talk about all sorts of wrestling. We'll preview Hell in a Cell, which is next Sunday, and the G1 Climax will be finished.
And the Steve Willis going to be ducking us again, you know,
who?
Keep putting the challenge out.
I asked, you know what, you ready for this? I told Steve Willis, I said, Croc and Roll guys have been talking. You know what Steve Willis said to me?
What'd he say?
Who?
I don't think so.
That's what he said to me.
That's
who?
That is it now. The war is on now.
Conscience of Place to Be Nation, the ultimate, he is the Ricky Steamboat of Place to Be Nation, Steve Willis. And he said to me, who? He doesn't even know who you are. You're insignificant to him.
Just saying. Okay. All right. Bring it on, biatches. Let's go.
So anyway, great week. Great week this past week on the Place to Be Wrestling Network. And of course, this coming week, always good stuff as well.
You know, the national treasure of Sean Kidd's not going to be very happy.
Tell us a press conference in front of that fucking thing with all the belts in it. He should be – he's better than – don't make David Crockett your lofty goal, please. Shave your head, look like the Crypt Keeper, and then you could be Bob Geigel.
He's got – let me tell you something. Sean has a beautiful belt collection right now. Tell you right now.
Surpassed, I've been buying too many Blu-rays. That's why. He's been buying belts. I've been buying Blu-rays. Anyway, and of course, and I we mentioned it last week as well, and you see it at the bottom of the post. Check out the store. Now it's a nice, easier way to do it than that convoluted mess I did in the beginning. You know what? You live and you learn, right? Go to tpublic.com and type PTBW in the search, and it'll go right to our stuff. T-shirts, hoodies.
I have my Croc and Roll t-shirt on today.
I don't have anything on at the moment. I'm looking forward to purchasing my Special Relations red hoodie for the winter. So anyway, and plus other good stuff. So great stuff. So go to tpublic.com and type PTBW in the search, and our stuff will come up. Mugs, all sorts of fun stuff.
Awesome.
Stickers, masks. Still need masks, unfortunately. All right. So this past week, it was the fifth episode of UWN Primetime Live. We had some surprises. Let's just go through the matches quick. We won't go through a ton of analysis. Our good friend Danny Limelight, who we are trying to work on being a guest here on the Saturday special at some point in the next few weeks. Danny Limelight trying to join us. He did take the loss, though. He lost to Clark Connors in a great match. Good rematch. Those two wrestled in the New Japan tournament. And they had a very, very good match.
It was a fun match.
It was a fun match. Heather Monroe, who we saw, I think, in week two, lose a tough one to Camille. She came back with a win. She beat Elena Black. Your wife liked what's his face? Her manager there. The heck was his name? I had it written down and I forgot.
Geez.
That guy. Yeah, him. With his rouge.
I can't remember his name.
I don't remember his name. I'm trying to get the doctor and I are trying to get accustomed. Our goal is to try to remember them without writing them down. And we remember them. We remember the wrestlers.
It isn't working.
We're remembering the wrestlers. The managers were still trying to get down. But anyway, Heather Monroe's valet. But she came back with a win. She beat Elena Black after losing to Camille a few weeks ago. Our good friend came back, though. This guy's name I will never forget. Hammerstone! He retained his West Coast Pro Championship. He defeated Trisario, who... What a putz. I didn't like him at all. Scrawny little turd.
They made it more of a match than I expected.
It did. He should have, honestly, Hammerstone should have crushed him. But
drop the hammer.
There's something about him I like. Let's talk about him for a minute. Let's talk about Hammerstone for a minute. There's something about his in-ring presence I like. He doesn't overdo it. He stalks the ring like he should. He's in great shape. I mean, he's not like we call him. The only reason we call him Scott Steiner is they share the same like blonde like goat. But really, like size-wise, Scott Steiner was bigger. Yes, bigger, like no muscular, doubt. Bigger, like bigger, jacked bigger. Hammerstone's in amazing shape. But he's just smaller weight-wise than Scott. We goof only because he's got the same beard. But I think Hammerstone's a better wrestler, to be honest with you.
He has a nice ring presence, though. I definitely agree. I don't why he's not one of the two big companies. I don't know. There could be that missing it kind of factor. But I don't know. Well, I kind of enjoy him, and I thought Trisario gave him a better match than I expected. So it was nice to see him be in the ring for a little period of time to see. Hammerstone and see how he would do in a when he's facing a better opponent, which we haven't seen. I'm sure he has throughout his career, just from what we've only really seen him on these shows. Right. So it's nice to see a little bit more to the character than just a quick match and kind of like an enhancement match. They made this a little bit more of a challenge for him.
Yeah, and I think don't forget, he's the West Coast Pro Champion, so he's carrying a world, a title, a regional title, so, he's probably getting paid very well. And
nice
he probably
belt,
likes,
by the way.
Very nice belt. Yeah, we're going to talk about belts. We've been in a belt mood the last week, so the West Coast Pro title belt I like a lot, and so do you. I know our NWA guys do, too. And he just has this, he stalks... I do think sometimes against certain opponents, he bumps too much. Like Trisario should have gotten folded up and thrown in the back of a car. In my opinion, I think Hammerstone should have beat the hell out of him. I'd like to see Hammerstone more. Well, hopefully in this announcement coming up, we'll hopefully see him in the announcement, which we'll talk about in a minute. Anyway, he successfully defended his West Coast Pro Championship over Trisario. Then we had a fun little triple threat. Three of my favorite guys, One guy you know I legitimately loved. One guy I liked as an awesome heel back in the WWF days. And then another guy who was a former tag team champion in the WWE. He just has one thing to say to the other two guys. Sorry. Bought your damn look. James Storm has returned to the NWA. Yeah. James Storm is back, so he signed. But that begs the question, Dr. G, if he and Eli Drake are still World Tag Team Champions. That we don't know. They probably are.
Yeah, I don't know.
We didn't see any belts being carried.
I think he's just
around,
a free agent, and maybe they just appeared at the show. I don't remember. These guys are not working, so.
That's true.
He hasn't signed with anyone.
We did see, though, and he's been in New Japan. I think he was in Ring of Honor, too. But Fred Rosser, who most of you WWE fans know as Darren Young, one half of the old primetime players, he made an appearance Tuesday night. And also, a guy that I haven't seen in, Jesus, I don't know, 7 years or something, 8 years, Chris Masters, the masterpiece. He's another Rotella special, just to let you know. The masterpiece there. And these guys ended up having a triple threat match. Fred Rosser, James Storm, and Chris Masters. Which, by the way, I thought Chris Masters, maybe that was an indie name that he kept, because his real name, I think, is Mordenti. But he must own that name.
Yeah, Mordenski or something like that.
Maybe it's Mordenski, not Morden. Well, I made him Italian. He's Polish, whatever. yeah, I made him Italian, so what? Forget about it. Like Fred Rosser, I knew had been floating around as, you know, of course, formerly Darren Young. James Storm, I'm so happy
to see
him.
I enjoyed it.
It was a good little triple threat, but Chris Masters either A, owns the copyright, maybe he used Chris Masters in the indies, or B, WWF doesn't give a shit, one or the other.
Well, after a while, certain copyrights, they expire after a while, and I know, because I think like now the Hart Foundation can be used.
I think for WWF, a lot of it is, does it even matter? Is it going to make them money? And is the name Chris Masters going to really do anything for them? Nah, probably not. So, fuck it.
I don't think he was using it, though, when he first went on the indies, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. He definitely dropped a lot of weight. He was another one that was drinking the sauce in 2006, 2007, yeah. He definitely trimmed down. Fun match, though. Fred Rosser got the win, and which is good because he's working on some feuds out for New Japan. So good match for him. But he gets the win. And in the main event, in a really great match, Dan Joseph, our UWN television champion, defeated Dom Kubrick. And Dan Joseph is a weird guy. Like, he's a babyface, but he acts like almost like Kurt Angle did in 99 and early 2000, like very overly, like over the top exuberant to the point you kind of want to hit him. So I don't know if he's a babyface or a heel, but I think he's a very good wrestler. And that was a great match.
It was.
It was a good match. But what do you think? Like, I almost think he's acting too goody-goody to be a babyface. Like, he's almost acting over the top like a heel. Like I said, like Kurt Angle did when he debuted in late 99 into 2000. What do you think?
Yeah, I kind of agree. You know, it's so hard today. I mean, now there's no crowd, so it's, you know, you would think you could kind of pick up on it a little easier because usually, you know, a heel has the – I can't – he's a tough guy to figure out in my eyes. I don't know – like, he has heel tendencies, but he also has – the face tendencies as well. He's like almost like a tweener kind of guy. I'm not going to sit here and lie. I don't know all things wrestling. A lot of these guys I'm seeing for the first time, you know, watching these shows. So I don't know much about him on the indies. I don't really follow the indies like I used to anymore. So I'm not totally familiar with him. But yeah, he's one of those guys that I can't totally figure out. It was funny because you and I think we're saying that when we were watching it. We're like, well, what is he? You know, is he heel or is he face? You know?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not sure. I just think he's almost over the top exuberant to be a face. So I don't know. I mean, maybe he is a face. I don't know. Anyway, he successfully defended his I think it's the United Network television title. It's the UN title. What is he bringing in and talk to, like, Mongolia in the big room with the circle? Do they get to put the little helmet?
You know, it's weird because they kept calling it the United Television Championship instead of the United, you know, the UWN Television Championship. I don't know. I'm assuming it's the UWN Television Championship.
Yeah, I think so too.
I think they were just saying United Championship just to make it shorter.
Yeah, I agree. So those were the matches. The matches were very good. But, of course, everyone was looking forward, and no Chris Dickinson. They did play a tape of him at the end of the previous week's show saying he wasn't showing up till he got competition. And he's, like, pushing the announcers around. I will tell you this, though, about Chris Dickinson. I like the gimmick, but eventually someone's got to, like, push him back. Because after a while, being just, like, a dick with nobody to be a dick back to him only goes so far. So somebody's gotta like step into a promo and push him back and say, why don't you stop picking on the announcer and push him back and generate a feud. You know what I mean?
I agree. You know what it seems like? It seems like he's the guy they really want to get over from the UWN and all of this, because if you notice, he's been part of every show in one way or another. And that kind of, if you want to call it a storyline, is kind of threading through all the shows, where he's kind of the dick who's coming out, you know, picking on everybody, saying there's no competition. So it's probably going to lead. I don't know how long they're going to be doing this to, but it's going to lead to something big. I'm assuming, you know, eventually it'll all come to a head, because it seems like that's the one main storyline that's kind of being carried through all the weeks that we've been watching. You agree?
Yes, no, I do. Absolutely. And he's a good, I think he's a pretty good wrestler. He's in great shape. I'm just saying that picking on the great value at Tony Schiavone there is only going to go so far. And I'm not talking about Todd Kennelly. I'm talking about the other guy. He looks like a furniture salesman. There's only so much after a while, that's going to get old. So, and the one guy that looked like, you know, flabby Kevin, like flabby Oz that he wrestled a few weeks ago. Like, no, we need like a real guy, like a James Storm's got to get in his face. That would make it fun. Not just some baby face like Dan Joseph. That's not going to work. You need a guy you know who would be good? You know who would be a perfect guy to get in his face? Tim Storm.
Yeah.
Why don't you stop being a jerk off? That's what he should be. Like, why don't you stop being a jerk and push him back? Why don't you push me around? Why don't you get in my face with your stupid hat and your dumb sweatshirt? Get in my face. Yeah.
And I agree with you all the time, but I kind of agree with you on this one.
He could be a good like coward heel thing, like oh hey man, you know, that kind of thing. Anyway, Chris Dickinson was not on this week. They played a clip from the end of the previous week's show saying he's not coming back on until he gets competition. Well, Dr. G, maybe some competition will be coming his way, because the big announcement that was announced the previous week happened this week, and that was Dave Marquez was standing in the ring with a table and something covered by a cloth. And you know what that means. Anytime you see something on a table covered in cloth, you know what's under it. You know what's under it. Something with diamonds and gold and leather. And no, I'm not talking about that kind of show. Maybe on the pop feed. But Dave Marquez announces, after years and years and years, because there's actually a wiki page for it that's empty, we are going to have a UWN heavyweight champion. I guess I should turn off my Chromebook. You like that? See, somebody's so excited they bleeped. Bing. Yes, there is going to be a UWN heavyweight champion. And starting,
nice belt.
There'll be an 8-person tournament. They didn't say the tournament would start this week. They said this coming week on episode 6. There, and this makes perfect sense before you laugh. This week they're going to announce the participants, and then probably the following week, episode 7, they will start the tournament. And you know why that's smart? Because to finish watching the tournament, you got to buy the next bundle.
Exactly.
Not stupid.
I know what they're doing.
Not stupid. I mean, they're not stupid.
It's pretty simple marketing 101.
Pretty simple right there. Business math right there. So this week, this coming week, episode 6, we will get our 8 participants, which I can almost guarantee Chris Dickinson will be in the tournament.
I would think so. I would think Hammerstone would be in it.
Hammerstone will be in it. We'll talk about the guys in a minute, because I want to write down what 8 guys you think and what 8 guys I think, and then we'll predict. First off, yes. Then Dave Marquez lifted up the belt is beautiful. Beautiful. It's got
little flags on it.
Yep. It's definitely UWN definitely took advice from the NWA Rock and Roll because it definitely has that. I think
Shawnee will be ordering that one. No doubt.
I know. UWN should sell belts because their TV belt is really nice too, actually. Haven't seen their tag belts yet. I don't even know what the tag belts look like. We did. Well, the tag champions wrestled, but I didn't see the belts though. Anyway. Yeah. Your thought on the belt and your thoughts on the announcement in general.
The belt I love. I really, really love it. I love the flags of the different countries on the top. It's big. It looks like a world championship. You know, that's, when AEW unveiled their championship, that looked like a world championship belt. Yep. This one does too. I think very sharp. The announcement of the championship itself, I mean, I'm not totally shocked because UWN's been around for a little bit. Maybe we just didn't know a lot about it, but it was around a lot on the West Coast. And it's something they've been building towards. And I know that we're going to get a little discussion about, NWA, UWN, the whole deal. But I think in this... this was a good chance for them to finally bring their world championship to light because they are now doing a pay-per-view, more eyes, and maybe something, again, to hook you in to watch. Hey, now we got this beautiful championship belt. We're going to announce the participants for the championship, a tournament, and now we'll present the tournament to you. So mm-hmm. it's going to be fun. I'm actually looking forward to it because – now we've seen over the last so many weeks all these different wrestlers that we haven't been really accustomed to, mm-hmm. or at least you and I haven't. And now you're going to see them going for the big championship. So it's going to be fun. I love the announcement. I love anytime you could see a new belt. Come on,
Oh, of course.
I don't collect the belts like you guys do. For various reasons, I have so much things that I collect already, so I just didn't want to add another thing. I mean, I do have a couple belts. But
you do.
I will tell you this. Mm-hmm. This belt, it would make me want to buy it. That's how nice it is. And I haven't bought
it. It is that nice. It is legitimately that nice. I agree with you 758%. We're
agreeing a lot today. It's kind of scary.
We are. It is very strange. Now, having said that, we did hear one person comment that, why do we need another world title? We already have Sweet Charlotte. Does this devalue Nick Aldis as the national treasure? And that brings me to a question I wanted to talk to you about this week. It has now been 5 weeks of the UWN-NWA partnership. We've watched 5 episodes. 4 of them have been really good. 3 of them were really good. 1 was just good and 1 was a little meh. So they're pretty much 4 for 5. Only 1 episode I thought was a little rough, and that was not this past week's, the week before. I think with this tournament, I think the next 3 weeks of the bundle or of this bundle are going to be very good. So, do we think that this belt does devalue the world title? And the answer, in my opinion, is no. For the main reason that it's almost like the old days. Like, I'm loving the way this is built. Think about it. Ric Flair or Harley Race or Harley, as your boy Gordon used to call him, Harley, used to travel the world. And all these territories that they wrestled in, they had their own champion. There was a Mid-South, North American champion. There was the American heavyweight champion in world class. There was Florida had a Florida heavyweight champion, correct? Mm-hmm. Georgia had a champion. Mid-Atlantic had a Mid-Atlantic heavyweight champion. So just because you have the world champion – doesn't mean the promotion can't have its own. So you're not devaluing Sweet Charlotte because Sweet Charlotte stands on its own.
Are they? I think they're calling it the UWN Heavyweight Championship. They're not calling it the World.
No, and it even says it on the belt. If you look at the belt says the UWN Heavyweight Championship. There's no world on it. So it's their belt, their main title. Because let's remember, and you heard both Aldis and Billy Corgan say this. This partnership, however fruitful, is temporary. Ultimately, Billy wants to go back to Atlanta, go back to GPC, and start the powers again. He wants to be on his own. I don't blame him. Of course he does. No disrespect to UWN. They're getting a ton of pub out of this. Would you and I have bought, would we have bought this these bundles if the NWA wasn't on it? No. So with all due respect to UWN, they're getting a lot of extra eyes on the guys from Championship Wrestling from Hollywood, Championship Wrestling from Phoenix, Championship Wrestling from Memphis. That guys like you and I, who for the most part, over the most of our wrestling lives, have watched the big promotions, Crockett, WWF, you know. And I feel like over the last 5 years, with WWE kind of being in a weird place in its history, AEW having its positives and having some negatives, New Japan in flux, like, you know, the pandemic kind of fucking with wrestling in general, that we're all looking for different things and watching different prospects that we probably wouldn't be paying attention to in 2015. So I understand those who think that, like, oh my God, why do we need two world titles? Well, it's not a world title. It's the UWN Heavyweight Championship. And that belt's going to stay after the NWA leaves and goes back to Atlanta when all this pandemic crap is over and we go back to regular life and they go back to Atlanta, yeah, the GPC, and we go to power. So
I don't think it values the NWA World's Championship. I really don't.
I don't think so either.
I mean, the thing is that the UWN says UWN Heavyweight Championship. The NWA is the World's Heavyweight Championship. So that's how you could delineate between the two. And like we said, these two companies are going to do their own thing eventually. NWA needed a little outlet just to keep relevant, which they have. And I think you'll see as we go forward, you know, I think when in these shows, the UWN is trying to get themselves out there. So the NWA got people like us to watch it, and they're hoping that by getting us to buy into the pay-per-views, that maybe we'll like what we see and we'll support the UWN going forward. And from what we've seen so far, I think I would. I don't know if I would buy bundles all the time. But I think I would definitely be more inclined to buying the pay-per-views now more than I did before this whole venture began. So I wouldn't worry for you NWA fans out there. It does not devalue the belt at all. It's their version of a championship, and it should be interesting. It'll bring a little more excitement to the shows. Again, these guys are doing just like all the other companies are. You're throwing stuff at the wall and seeing what sticks because we don't have fans in the stands right now. I mean, I know there's some limited in certain places, but for the most part, there's not fans in the stands. So they have to try something, and a tournament, bringing a new belt. Always, you know, for people like us, the people who love wrestling the way we love it, come on. You know what I'm saying? Who doesn't love seeing a new belt and then having a tournament for the new championship?
In all my years of being a wrestling fan, nothing ever gets me more excited than tournaments. Because to me, tournaments not only crown champions, but you can also create storylines within the tournament. Two guys wrestle to a double count out, or somebody screws the other in the semifinals, and then that those guys can keep rolling.
Old-fashioned booking.
Yep, very simple. It's that's why I've always loved tournaments. And yeah, I mean, it's just like, because in Nick Al, by the way, speaking of Sweet Charlotte, I don't know if anybody saw this or not, coming up in December, I'm not sure the date, I think it's the 20th, Sweet Charlotte will be defended. Nick Aldis will defend against Brian Pillman Jr.
Interesting.
In some show somewhere in December. I got to get the details on it. For everyone who's, and I was wrong, I want to thank our good friend, Mr. Kidd, who corrected me. I had said, oh, his dad never got a title shot. Yes, he did. Him and Flair wrestle for the world title, I think on an episode of Saturday Night, sometime in 90, I think. So So Brian Pillman did get a world title shot at some point. Anyway, Nick Aldis is wrestling his kid sometime in December. When I find out while we're talking, I'll see if I can find the details. I think it's the 20th. I think it's a week before Christmas. Anyway, yeah, I think everybody can just understand that the UWN is going to use this exposure. They know that they got more eyes on this deal. Billy right now, the roster's in a state of flux. Like you said, James Storm, just because he showed up Tuesday doesn't mean he's with the NWA still. But Billy and him probably have a great relationship. And maybe at this point in his career, James Storm doesn't want to work for one of the big two. He's already been to NXT. That lasted like 2 days. Maybe he doesn't want to go to AEW. Who knows? You know,
well, you know, the
maybe
thing
he
is,
likes this kind of indie life where he could bounce around like a gypsy. Maybe he worked his money in Impact, you know.
When COVID was not around, I think these guys definitely loved the indie shots because indies are so big now. We're so big and they were drawing good crowds because people were looking for something different than the big two or, you know, if you want to say three, including either Impact or Ring of Honor. At this point, you know, it's very hard. So guys like James Storm, you know why? I think that's why Eddie Kingston, he had a shot going to AEW. He's going to go because there's really not a lot of money to be made. I know there some indies are running right now, but not many. You know, going back to that one with the Nick Aldis defending against Brian Pillman Jr., that's on December 10th.
The 10th. Okay, cool.
Yeah, so it's going to be in Grimsley, Tennessee.
I think that's the neck of the woods.
Where 127 Pro Wrestling. I don't really know.
I don't know. Yeah, a local promotion probably. But see, that's what Aldis is doing. He's doing, obviously, to a smaller scale than Flair or Harley did, or anybody, Jack Briscoe or any of those guys back in the day. But he's doing what a good NWA World's Heavyweight Champion does. He travels.
He keeps some working.
Yeah.
Understanding that these guys do need to pay the bills, just like we all have to pay the bills. And if they, and I think, you know, Nick Aldis really loves the NWA and he's very, very loyal to Billy and he's trying to do what he can. So if he get booked here and there, and I think, like you said, this UWN, I don't know what the agreement is, but I'm sure there's a little bit of cash flow at least going to some of the boys and the ladies, you know, hopefully that to just keep them going. So they could stay with the NWA because we don't know what the roster is going to look like. Do we really even know what the official roster of the NWA is at this point?
Not really.
So I think we, you know, Nick Aldis is definitely, you know, in the fold. I would say Trevor Murdoch is definitely in the fold. And so is Aaron Stevens. I guess Eli Drake. I mean, that's what I could think off the top of my head right now. That we know, definitely. I mean, there's probably others. So they got to do something to keep working. I think this venture, would I like to see a little bit more of an NWA presence from a selfish standpoint? Yes, I would. But they sucked us in. We're enjoying it. Now we got a tournament, so we're looking forward to that. And like I said, listen, for, what is it, $24 for the...
It went up a buck. It was $24.99.
$24.99
For this cluster, but $24.99 for four shows. Exactly.
You know, I say if you haven't bought an episode yet, they're $7.99. If you buy them individually, give it a shot. See what you know, like if you're looking for something a little different, you've watched the WWE, you've watched AEW, you've watched Impact, you've watched Ring of Honor, but maybe you just kind of need something different. Check these out. Why not? It can't hurt, and you know. Hopefully, we'll see a little bit more of an NWA presence. I hope. You know, I want to see Thunder Rosa wrestle again. Which is she wrestling next week?
Thunder Rosa. We're gonna get to that actually. She's wrestling in 2 weeks. The match we were supposed to have. Priscilla Kelly took her spot a few weeks ago. 2 weeks from now, so episode 7 of Primetime Live, Thunder Rosa will defend the NWA Women's World title against Serena Deeb, which was supposed to be the match we were supposed to get a few weeks ago, but she got the vid and
anytime you get quarantine. To see Thunder Rosa wrestle, if you don't buy any of the pay-per-views, buy that one.
Oh, and I'm sorry, I have to talk about this. We have to go off the – it's about – you in the mood to pull the ripcord? Because I'm about to lose my shit. I meant to tell you this.
Oh, boy.
This past week, the PWI Women's 100 was announced. And I'm going to give you the top 10. Okay. Ready for this? Okay.
Okay. Give me.
PWI Women's 100. Number one, Bailey. Okay. She had an amazing year. Amazing year. Number two.
So you're going from one to 10.
I'm going to one up. To 10. I'm going to go from one to 10.
So she's number one in the world.
She's number one. She was number one in the PWI Women's 100.
Okay.
Number two.
I totally agree with that. But
Becky Lynch. Number three, okay. Asuka. Number four, Charlotte. Number five, Sasha Banks. So the top five dominated by the WWE. I don't have a problem with that. I don't have a problem with that. They have the best women's division in the world. So I'm fine with that. Number six, Hikaru Shida, the AEW Women's Champion. Number seven, Tessa. Number eight, Rio. Number nine, Io Shirai. And number 10, Mayu Iwatani. Whose name didn't I say?
I didn't say Thunder Rosa.
Thunder Rosa was 15. That is a crime.
Well, I'm okay.
I'm sorry. And you know what? You want to call me a fanboy? You know my address. Knock on my fucking door. Neither of those rotten AEW women's wrestlers have any business being in the top 10. They are terrible. Terrible wrestlers. And okay. Thunder Rosa would wrestle circles.
Let's play devil's advocate on this. I mean, I agree. I think Thunder Rosa should be in the top 10. But, you know, you could argue some of the ones in the top five, or, you know, as well. But my point is, do you think it's just hurting because she's not, especially these last 6 months, she hasn't been wrestling as much, obviously, due to the pandemic? Do you think that might have a little bit to do with it? And I have no idea if they who sits in a room and they come out, what kind of, you know, analytics, if there is any, that they come up for us.
Okay.
I'm just trying to understand, have you ever heard of
debunk you. Have you ever heard of Mayu Iwatani? She's a Japanese women's wrestler currently signed to World Wonder Ring Stardom.
No, I haven't. I'm not going to sit here and lie to you.
So there you go. So how different is she from Thunder Rosa?
But I don't know where in the promotion she's wrestling in, where, you know, maybe they were wrestling sooner. I don't know if she was over in Japan. I don't know what their pandemic status was like. I'm trying to understand. I have no idea because unless we got somebody from PWI on, I have no idea where they come up with.
You're going to listen to me and understand. You're going to listen to me. I learned this from Vince. You're going to listen to me. I have the answer.
You are not Vince, so.
No, thank God I'm not. I don't look like the Crypt Keeper. My eyes are sticking out of my skull. And I don't think that we need to see too much of Lacey turn Roman Reigns heel. I just don't understand. I'm sorry. I don't give a shit if Rio or Hikaru Shida are the AEW women's champions. Thunder Rosa could wrestle rings around the two of them. And if you want to put one of them there, because then put Hikaru Shida, because at least she's been on every week. Rio won the inaugural AEW women's title and then was never on. She was always in Japan wrestling. I think she was on like every fifth Dynamite. And that is not disputable. That's a fact. I will give Hikaru Shida credit. She wrestles every week on AEW. She still can't wrestle. She still can't hold a pair of trunks to Thunder Rosa, but at least she was on all the time. Rio won that women's title inaugurally. The inaugural women's title, and then didn't go anywhere. She didn't show up. She wasn't on TV for like 5 weeks. Then she'd show up, wrestle once. Then she wouldn't be back on for 3 more weeks. And then she'd come back on again.
The fact that Thunder Rosa's
not in the top 10 is a crime. You want to dispute that one of those WWE women should not be in the top five? Sorry, exposure wins out there. And those five women would destroy anybody in any other women's promotion.
Okay, let me just say, I'm just trying to understand, and I agree with you. I think Thunder Rosa should be in the top 10. We just don't know what the analytics or what they do. Like you said, it could be, you know, two guys sitting in a room just, you know, coming up. You knew that AEW and WWE were going to dominate. That's just because they're the big two, and that was going to happen. Whether you like it or not, because you could argue, I mean, do you th- – I mean, I don't know. Do you think Bailey's the best in the world? I mean, if you want to argue it.
You could probably interchange. You know who I would have put at number one? Honestly, I'd have put Asuka. She was the best in the world. Becky Lynch, I don't know if I'd put it two because she's been gone for the last. She's been gone since.
Yeah, definitely the previous
she's,
year.
She's been out. She's on paternity leave. Maternity leave. She had a bit paternity leave. Even her, even Seth Rollins is not on paternity leave. I don't think they've had the baby yet. But
even though she calls herself out, the man, come on.
A man. She's a bigger man than her husband, or than her fiance is. Anyway, I'm sorry. Whatever.
I think it's just one of those things, you know, PWI, and even when we were kids, it was always mostly showcasing the big companies more than it was the smaller companies. And it is a little bit of a crime, I agree. But maybe after this year, maybe we'll see her in the top 10 where she belongs. But we know we love watching her. So, but yeah, I knew you wouldn't be getting mad about the WWE wrestlers. I knew you. You're gonna go off
because they're better than the because they're the best women's division. But gee, they're the best wrestlers in the world.
You're the Jim Cornette of our.
But am I wrong? I'm not wrong. There's a difference. I'm not wrong.
You're the Jim Cornette of our.
I'm not wrong. I'm not wrong. All five of those wrestlers: Bailey, Sasha, Asuka, Charlotte, and Becky. Did I say Becky? Would wrestle circles around anybody else in the top 10. Except maybe Io Shirai. And I'll give Hikaru Shida. Tessa's in there because she won a men's belt. Or she won the world title in Impact. I don't know if she should be rewarded for being number 7 because she's an idiot. And I have no idea who this Mayu Iwatani is. I'm sure she's an exceptional wrestler. But if we're talking about exposure, are you telling me she's had more exposure than Thunder Rosa? The answer is no.
Well, you know, I mean, I don't know who I wish we could get somebody from PWI on the show and ask them, you know, how they come up with these rankings. Listen, we know it's not like when we were kids where they tried the kayfabe. It's, you know, based on what we know about wrestling today. So it would be interesting to see what they I haven't really read one of those things in a while. So I don't know if they explain how they come up with the rankings or not. That I don't know. Before I start ripping it, I'd like to know before I. But I agree with you. I think
it's a kayfabe list. The analytics are they throw fucking darts on a wall, probably.
Exactly. In my heart, Thunder Rosa to me would be number one. So you know, but that doesn't mean that I'm right. Right. I mean, yeah.
Wait. Do I think Bailey should be number one? Should a WWE woman be number one? Yes. Because the competition in that division.
They get the most exposure. And that's correct. That's the point I'm trying to make is that's why AEWs are on there is because they have exposure. They're on national television every single week. That's the only reason.
I will concede Hikaru Shida because she's the current women's champion and she was on every week. She's been on every week since she was champion. Do I think she's a good wrestler? She's okay.
No, she's not.
Will Hobie in the top 10?
The top 5. There's no doubt about it.
She won that inaugural championship. She won the inaugural women's title and then wrestled like every 5 weeks. And not really that great. She does not belong in the top 10.
I agree with you in the fact that the WWE definitely has the best women's division. There's no doubt about it. You can't really even argue it. You know, but
the only two
companies were going to have their ladies in the top 10. There was no denying it.
But the only two that I maybe would concede not being in the top 10 is Becky and Charlotte, because Becky has been gone for a while. Now, I'm trying to remember how they do the calendar. Is it like the men, April 1st to March 31st, or is it July 1st to June 30th? I don't know. Becky, because she's missed half a lot of the year. She's been gone since what? When did what's her name cash the money in the bank in? After WrestleMania. So she's been gone since April.
All the months all combined to me.
I think Becky's been gone since April because it was after WrestleMania.
Right.
And Charlotte really hasn't wrestled much. She got hurt, I think. So she hasn't been on much either. So
if you were telling me who the best women's wrestler is in the world, I mean, by skill, it's Charlotte, hands down. There's nobody better. We could argue about that one all day, but well, she is the best.
She's exceptional. Absolutely.
When she's healthy, she is the best in the world. She's like her father. I mean, sure. You just can't deny it. I know there might be people that argue with me on that one, but
that's fine.
She has a presence. She doesn't go down to her opponent. She brings her opponents up kind of like her father did. And she should always be a heel in my mind. But, you know, she'll do that tweener thing every so often.
You know what I'm going to do?
I think she's the best in the world, though. If you had to ask me, I mean, when she's healthy.
I'm going to look and see who's between 11 and 14. Because if you're not going to – if you're at least going to put – why don't you put Thunder Rose at 11? I have the list in front of me now. I want to see who 11 through 15 is. All right, here we go. Okay. So 11 is Rhea Ripley. Okay. 12, Jordynne Grace. She's an impact. 13, Shayna Baszler. I'm sorry. Thunder Rosa was 14, not 15. Sorry, Thunder. Didn't mean to jip you of a spot there. She was 14. So the 13 women ahead of her. Let's forget the ranking part then, Dr. G. Let's forget the ranking part. Here are the 13 women ahead of her. Bayley, Becky, Asuka, Charlotte, Sasha, Hikaru Shida, Tessa, Rio, Io Shirai, Mayu Iwatani, Rhea Ripley, Jordynne Grace, and Shayna Baszler. Now, it is a hard, that is a lot of talent above her. There are a few that should not be ahead of. I can understand, and again, you want me to be fair, I'll be fair. I don't need people jumping down my fucking throat because I'll come out swinging. I will concede that Hikaru Shida belongs higher. She's the AEW Women's Champion. She's been champion for a while. She's a good wrestler. She's okay. I mean, I think there are women wrestlers here better than her, but she has had the most exposure, and she's been on every week, so I will give her that. Riho.
But remember, the WWE ones, like you mentioned, the top five there, they have – the talent is so good there, so they're wrestling top talent all the time. Maybe Thunder Rosa isn't wrestling top talent all the time, so we're not seeing the best of Thunder Rosa possibly.
That is true.
And in AEW, yes, their division is obviously a step below WWE's, but there is some decent competition over there. So their wrestlers are going to get more women's wrestlers are going to get a little bit more exposure because they're wrestling. So Thunder Rosa on the indies – she'll get some really good ones here and there, but you're also going to get some stinkers as well where, you know, she's by and large, she is much better than her opponent. Whereas in the two big companies, you're going to see more competition and better competition. So that's what I'm not doing this because, I mean, of course it's fun having, you know, to battle it out a little bit, but my point is, I get it. When I don't like something, you know how I am when I'm even with sports. If I don't like the Red Sox, I'm not going to like
them. We don't sit here and justify it. Multiple mutual admiration podcasts are like watching, you know, a bowl of ice cream.
But the thing is that I'm not saying I don't watch AEW every week either. My thing is that I'd rather you just come out and say you fucking hate the company and that's it and be done with it instead of this like, well, because I hate the fans. That's just stupid. Because you know what? WWE fans could be just as irrational as AEW fans can. So to me, that doesn't make sense. If you just say you don't like the company and that's fine. Listen, their brand of wrestling is not for everyone and WWE's brand of wrestling is not for everyone. So that's why it's nice to have other choices. That's why we've gotten so into the NWA because it's different from the other companies. Unfortunately, the pandemic kind of hurt that.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd much rather hear you say, you know what, I hate that damn company and I don't want to watch it.
I don't watch as much Dynamite as I should as a wrestling fan because I'm not home Wednesday nights usually. And the TNT website doesn't run that great either here or at work. Sometimes I'll listen to shows at work at my desk while I'm doing other work, or my like Hulu DVR gets a little wonky. So I admittedly don't watch. I do watch Dark sometimes, and I think the talent is good. I will say this. And we got in this whole big schmoz in one of the chats this week. I do think they overvalue Jon Moxley. I think he's overrated. I don't think he's really that great a wrestler, to be honest with you. There's better guys in that company that could be world champion right now than him. I think they like making him champion because he was an ex-WWE guy and he likes being a little snarly towards him. Even though they screwed themselves by having that whole stip where Cody couldn't be world champion. But then again, they didn't want to use the whole Triple H paradox of the guy that runs a company's champion. He did it. Who gives a fuck? You know what? Triple H did it. He didn't give a shit what anybody says.
We could do a show, you and I, on this another day. I think that sometimes we overthink because we think of Eric Bischoff and Vince McMahon from those days. I don't really think that Tony Khan is thinking these things out like you're thinking, like, oh, we want Moxley because he's a foreign. Listen, not saying having guys that wrestle, look at Jericho was one of them that had success in the WWE. I mean, he's a wrestling fan, Tony Khan was. Of course you're going to use a big name talent to help get your company over. There's no doubt about it.
Sure.
I mean, even when Vince was going national, look at all the guys he took. I mean, Hulkamania did not start in WWE or WWF. It started in AWA. So it's just that Vince took it to another level. I mean, he took that. Vern could have had all that, and he didn't because he didn't have the vision that Vince had.
He also now, made Tony a bad Khan business
has a decision. Different vision of what he wants to do. Now, will he be successful with it? We don't know. Right now, we can't even judge wrestling. That's why I don't even really watch a lot of the big companies right now, because I'm waiting, just like you are, until we could have the fans back and get back into that regular flow. Then you could judge the two. You know, then you could judge the two companies against each other. So, I mean, like I said, we could probably go on for days about this. So
you're also forgetting one very important part of the Hulkamania AWA story, and that's that Vern made a stupid business decision by attempting to bully Hogan into giving him half his Japan money. And Hogan was a shrewd businessman and said, "Fuck you, Vern. I make enough money for you as it is."
Oh, he wanted the t-shirt money.
Yeah, he was an idiot. I wouldn't have had an issue with Hulkamania continuing in the AWA, but Vern was a selfish prick who wanted to keep his stupid lake property in Minnetonka, wherever the fuck it is.
Well, think about it, though. Vince's father didn't have that vision either. He didn't like his guys to be in movies and things like that. Remember, I think what originally wasn't – Hogan was in WWE.
Vince Sr. got fired because Vince Sr. fired him because he didn't like him as Thunder Lips.
Right.
That's true. Exactly. Absolutely true. Sure.
They had an old school mentality, and yep. Vince Jr. had this new way of thinking that people didn't like. So again, now you have a guy like Tony Khan who's coming on the scene that has a little bit of a different vision than what WWE has, and some people just want something different. And you know, when the new thing comes along, look at all the WWF fans, including ourselves, that kind of jumped to WCW when the whole thing with Hogan going into the NWO, and we were kind of making snarky remarks about the WWF because it was, you know, getting old and stodgy and the stupid, you know, gimmicks that they had. Come on, you and I, we used to sit and rip it all the time. We were having such a great time watching WCW. So that's what's happening right now. Eventually, fans, it evens out, and people will go back and forth. And I think people are trying to recreate the Monday Night Wars on Wednesday. It's not the same. Television's not the same. The viewing of television is totally different now. I mean, when you get over 1 million views, you're like so excited when, you know, at one time, you know, 6 million were watching on a Monday night. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know that could be a little skewed too because people were going back and forth to each show, but it was definitely more than 1 million watching at that time. So I think, you know, it's just very hard when you have, you know, if you think about it, AEW and WWE are really two totally different type of shows. I mean,
Why do you bring up AEW every time we do this show? I should book you on the Squared Circle Psychobabble with Mike and Ralph.
You
AEW
got yourself junkies. All crazy. No, because you brought up about the
women's top. I was more pissed off that Thunder Rosa wasn't in the top 10.
Right, but I did tear into the AEW people being in the top 10. That's
well, both that's of them should have been at least one of them. Again, so. I conceded that. Hikaru Shida is fine because she is the AEW Women's Champion. Rio hasn't been champion in months, and when she was champion, she was barely on. So I don't buy that shit. I think they stuck it in there because they felt bad having five WWE wrestlers.
About Becky Lynch.
She shouldn't be on the She definitely shouldn't be two. I think one of the NXT wrestlers should be two, either Io Shirai or Rhea Ripley or Shayna. Jesus, Shane didn't lose a match for like almost the whole fucking year.
You know what I say? Just go to the PWI offices and smack them all in the mouth.
Well, it's not. Who's that? Stu? Is Stu still running that? Stu Sachs? No, that's on him. It's not Bill, right? It's not Bill.
After, no,
right?
Bill's not
run
with
those mags. Who the fuck runs PWI? I don't know. Whatever. Anyway,
I don't even know anymore.
I'm a little more, believe it or not, I'm more fired up about that. I don't even give a fuck about the men's list. I don't even care. Whatever. I know Moxie was number one, and we had a whole big kerfluffle on a main event, but whatever. The men's list, there's guys that definitely deserve that could be number one too. So.
When Hulk Hogan was number one, right? I'm just going to tell you, was he the best wrestler in the world?
No, overall, but you know what makes me laugh, though?
On how you're judging it.
I said this on main event, though. For the first time, PWI actually tweeted out their criteria. PWI never did that because usually people don't usually give a fuck about the list and they just do it.
Right.
But because they knew that this may cause a little kerfluffle, they had to justify their picks by publicizing their criteria, which they never used to do.
That's interesting. You know, I'll have to listen to the show then.
But yeah, it was a few weeks ago. But anyway. Anyway, we love Thunder. We love you, Thunder Rosa. That's why I went on that tirade. It's all about you because you're awesome.
Exactly.
By the way, Allison Kay was 25. Allison Kay was 25. Oh, and Priscilla Kelly, the one who had the title shot back in week two, 38. Not bad.
Okay. Not bad.
And actually, my favorite AEW women's wrestler is Big Swole, just because I think her name's cool. She's 39. That's Cedric Alexander's wife. In case you didn't know.
Oh, right.
Big Swole. She's cool. I like her. So I don't dislike all of the AEW women's wrestlers. I like Big Swole.
All right.
Riho one pisses me off because they built up Nyla Rose to be this absolute monster, and then they have this little ballerina win the world title, and then she's only on Dynamite like every 5 weeks. I will concede Akira Shida because she is their world champion and she defends the belt a lot. So I will give her that.
Yes.
Is she a top 10 wrestler?
Well, it's because she's a champion and she's on.
Now, I heard the match with her and Thunder Rosa was very good at All Out.
I mean, in that case, that helps Thunder Rosa because she's on national
television.
She
was on a big show. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. All right. That was a fun show.
Something to talk about. We could talk about this all day.
It was a fun show. But anyway, next week, this coming Tuesday, the Thunder Rosa Serena Deeb match is in 2 weeks. It's episode 7. This week, episode 6, Dr. G, we have a title match, though. Your boy, you're gonna put your pink TV t-shirt on? Zicky Dice!
Oh, boy.
We'll be defending the TV title against the Pope. Of course, that comes from the tag match.
I like the Pope, though.
I love the Pope. I think he's going to win. Good. I think the Pope's going to win, to be honest with you.
Me too.
So that's this week, amongst other things. So the big two things this week on Primetime Live, the Pope gets his world television title shot against Zicky Dice, and we'll find the announcement. They will fill the 8-person bracket for the UWN Heavyweight Championship Tournament, which will probably start the week after. So those are the two big things to look forward to this coming Tuesday on UWN Primetime Live. Dr. G, that was fun. Got to do that once. Got to pull the ripcord once in a while. We don't like snorefests.
And anyway. Main event better watch out.
Who?
That's all I want to say.
Steve Willey says, who? Anyway, you can follow the doctor on Twitter at Dr. GPTV. You can follow me on Twitter at PTB Podfather. I always talk classic wrestling. As we're recording, Dr. G, it was 21 years ago today that we're recording. You're hearing this on Sunday, but yesterday, Saturday, it was 21 years ago today was No Mercy 99 in Cleveland. Do you remember that we were at our friend Mike's house and I was running up and down the stairs of his house because we had No Mercy on one TV and Game 5 of the National League Championship Series on the other TV.
That's right.
The Grand Slam single. Jay Hinchy says to me, oh, you had to bring that game up. And I went, you won the fucking series. Stop whining. Not your fault you got swept by the Yankees again.
Exactly.
They got swept in 96. The first two games didn't count, right?
Well, you know what? They should have won and they didn't. So we came in there and closed down that piece of crap.
Oh, the launching pad.
Yeah,
we closed that. Can I quote?
I think Jim Leyritz's ball maybe it just landed.
Can I quote my PIC's father? The place was a dump.
It's a dump.
Oh, we love you, Chad Campbell. You know that.
We do.
Anyway, so join us next week, Saturday special return. Hopefully at its normal time, Saturday morning. It'll post on placetobe.podbean.com on the Place to Be Wrestling Network. We'll recap We didn't do our full eight, but that's okay. Give me a couple guys that you think you'll see in the tournament besides Chris Dickinson. Hammerstone, I'm not sure, because he has a belt already.
I'm going to say Hammerstone, though.
I think you're going to see some NWA guys.
I think Dan Joseph will be in it, even though he's the television champion.
Okay. I think Watts will be in it.
Watts will be in it.
I think Levi Shapiro will be in it. He's yep. that skinny guy with the guy with the guy with the beard, the manager.
I don't know.
You will see some NWA guys, though. I bet you Eli Drake's in it.
I could see Eli Drake. I could see it won't be the Pope.
No, he's wrestling tonight. Let's put it this way.
I could see James Storm being in there. I don't, maybe. Like I said, sure. He's not NWA, but I could see James Storm being in that.
How about Tom Latimer? We haven't seen Tom Latimer on camera yet. We know he's still with the company. Remember, he's engaged to Camille.
I think there's going to be a surprise in there, but I'm just not sure who it's going to be. And I think it might be an NWA guy. It could be like an Aaron Stevens, or it could be
It could be Aaron Stevens. He has no belt now.
It could be maybe a Trevor Murdoch, even though he's national champion. I mean, it could be a multitude of things, but – but I definitely think we'll see like a Dan Joseph, a Hammerstone, Chris Dickinson. My prediction is I think Dickinson's going to win it. I think that's the guy they're really trying
to. I think he'll at least make it to the final. Well, we'll handicap the brackets next week when we actually know them. We'll see what the matchups are and go from there. So next week on the Saturday special, we will see if the Pope does become the new television champion. He takes on Zicky Dice Tuesday. And we will talk about the 8-man bracket for the inaugural UWN Heavyweight Championship. Have a good week. He's the doctor.
Definitely.
And you're not.
Ciao.
Fuck you, Tony Khan. Can I say that?
Go away.